Welcome to the Crown Council Mentor of the Month program. This is Steve Anderson. Our mentor this month is a lifetime qualified member of the Crown Council and recipient of the Crown Council's Humanitarian Award. He's a 1969 graduate of UCSF Dental School, after which he served for 2 years in the Army, one of which was in Vietnam. He's a decorated officer in the Army Dental Corps and practiced for 41 years in Napa, California, and has been married for 45 years and has 2 children and 2 grandchildren. Among his many civic and dental leadership positions that he's held over the years is his 20-year membership in Los Médicos Voladores, the Flying Doctors, having made over 50 humanitarian trips and donated hundreds of thousands of dollars in supplies and services in countries such as India, Guatemala, the Marshall Islands, South Africa, and El Salvador, to name a few. He's also the author of the recently published book, It's All About Smiles, Passions from a Dentist on Health, Healing, and Happiness. With that, we welcome Crown Council member Dr. Adrian Fenderson as this month's Crown Council Mentor of the Month. Adrian, welcome.
Yes.
Great to have you, and having known you for many years, I'm very excited to have extended the invitation for you to share your top 20 things that you felt have made you a better dentist over the last 40-plus years. And the thing I'm most excited about is you have spent a considerable amount of time pondering this because you've just finished writing a book. So I know you've given a lot of this thought, so I'm sure you'll share some of the things that are in the book today, as well as some others that will be directly applicable to the dentists that are listening. So in advance, thanks for sharing with us today, and we're eager to hear your top 20.
I'm excited about sharing. This is one of my passions, just sharing things I've done and thoughts I've had.
So give us number one.
I think number one is in top 20, comes under the heading of have a balanced life. I've known dentists that have been so passionate that they have not spent time with their families or some of their other activities. Ron Jensen wrote a book, Make a Life, Not a Living, and he had 7 F's, and I won't get into those, but there's from fitness to friends to family. And family is what I want to put as number one right now. There's faith in there too, but family, I spend a lot of time with my family and just have a great relationship with them. And I think it's important for happiness to enjoy your work more. You need to, of course, be happy. And my family has brought me a lot of happiness from their success, and from especially my daughter, who has gone on humanitarian trips with me, and my son, who is now a documentary.
He's a producer.
Producer and director of a documentary that's got quite a few acclaims and awards, and providing a nice income for his family. He and his wife made it. And so that would be important. I think whatever business they're in, if people don't, when they have a family, don't develop that, and they're not happy, then no matter what else, it's nothing. And right along with the balance of many things is humanitarian. My passion is, of course, humanitarian and missions, and that I've been with my daughter, and you've already mentioned a few, and I will continue to do those type of missions. I enjoy them. They just fill me full of sunshine. They fill me with happiness. I just got back from a few weeks ago from Haiti. I spent a week down there with a group, and it's a lot different than the Dominican Republic, which I know a lot of people have been. Just across the border is a devastated country with poverty and lots of need. So it was great to spend it with my daughter, a whole week working hand in hand in dentistry and being able to have meals with her. So that's number one, is have a very balanced life between your finances and fun and friends and fitness and faith.
Having interacted with your two children over the years, I remember when you first sent them to our youth program a long time ago, and having watched them, I know that they know that they've got an awesome dad and mom. You've done a great job at home as well as at the office.
Well, you're right. When I get that little Happy Father's Day, it's not just a little card. It's always a nice comment about what we have given them in their life and what have I given them. And I always always cry once a year. That's my big tear time, is when I get that great card from them. I think we can go right to a couple of others. And it is, perhaps in long-term planning, I didn't do this till later in my practice, but I'm really glad that I got the direction to do that. And then the long-term planning, I can divide it into two areas that I visit with. And one is financial. I hired an independent financial advisor. Nobody wants to sell me insurance or sell me a deal. He just is a very good financial advisor. He happens to be local. And I use him on a regular basis. In fact, I just talked to his office before this call to look at some stuff in the sale of the dental building that I owned. And I recommend anybody, if they don't have some type of financial advisor, as of course is recommended in becoming a lifetime Crown Council member. Under that, too, is in when someone says, okay, that's it, I think I might have a plan to retire someday. I took 2 years in the planning. I worked with my coach, and we'll talk about later, and he gave me books to read. There was a book called Too Young to Retire, books on vision, and my wife and I sat down, and we kind of put our vision and helped cast our vision. What is retirement going to look like for us? Are we going to sit around and watch TV and wait for a heart attack? Or are we going to be active and do things and things that we've wanted to spend more time at? So we had that vision written, and I've known many people that have reached a retirement age and thought, well, now what I'm going to do? And then later I talked to them, and I said, well, yeah, I seem to be very, very busy, but sometimes just wandering without a direction. So I think that's important. That's helped me become successful in life, not only in, of course, dentistry, which we'll get into now. What has helped me become successful in dentistry? I think that, and learning from Boot Camp and Crown Council, have a marketing plan in place every year. And there's two categories that perhaps I can talk about. One is external and one is internal. I personally believe, and from all my counseling, that internal should be about, well, I put 90%. 90% of the time I spent was internal. And the two things in the internal was, of course, asking. We developed a way to ask every patient for a referral. And I did it a little differently than my team, and I'd love to visit with that for a minute or less. But I would just say to them, Mrs. Smith, I need your help. You have a beautiful mouth, no problems. I'd like you to do one of two things. And I'd say either quit brushing and flossing and eat a lot of sugar and get something for me to do next year, or maybe find someone that would love to have the dental experience you've had here. And they'd laugh and they'd say, okay. And then I'd say, no, seriously, we are looking for about a dozen new families as we're expanding, and perhaps you know someone. So it was an ask. And then the second thing that had helped was a newsletter, and I'll spend a little time with that because I talk about it later. But we had a patient email newsletter, and that stayed in contact with them. But I did marketing with that newsletter. External marketing was mostly free. I found a way to brand myself in Napa. I was in the newspaper every year doing something. All my trips got sent to the newspaper. There was full-page articles. In fact, on Sunday there's going to be a full-page article about my book in the newspaper. I found someone at the newspaper, that would willing to help me get stuff in it. And so just by becoming famous in my hometown, I got a lot of that from Crown Council and advice actually from my team members of how, why I should do something like that. But if there's, I did a lot of free and dental clinics, a lot of things that just caught the interest of the newspaper. And so when your name's in there and people are thinking about looking for a dentist, they often think of that. Mixed in with all this and kind of connected all together is in this marketing is social media. I have Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, and I did 30 videos. If you went on to YouTube and just typed in Fenderson or Napa Dentist, you'd see about 30 videos I did, just short 1 to 2 minute videos talking about dentistry and not promoting me, but just promoting good dentistry and healthy mouths, and tied all those videos into a YouTube account. That's the new trend. People don't read the paper. My kids haven't read a paper in years. They tend to do everything on their little iPhones. And so we worked and got iPhone information. And working with that social media, of course, I've worked with my social practice, who has been very, very great. Jack Hadley has done a superior
yep.
job with that. So that's kind of all tied together into marketing. If I can move on in another category, I've got several items.
Let's do it.
Under constant education for me and for the team, we divided our educational thoughts into two categories. Too many dentists go to all technology, want to be on the cutting edge of technology. We were update on technology, but maybe not the cutting edge. When something came out new, we waited till it was proven. My overhead was quite low because I just didn't buy the latest thing and find out it's not so great and toss it. I waited a little bit. But unless you're continuing going to courses, I went to PacLive and I always went to Ray Bertolotti. He seemed to be on the cutting edge. Went to those courses on a regular basis, and that was for my technology technique. But I spent just as much time in, and I recommend again, the business end. You know very well from dealing with young dentists, they come out of school with no business sense. When I came out of school and started my dental practice, I met with a bookkeeper there, and she said to me, "Okay, we're going to talk about accounts receivable." And I looked at her and said, "What's that?" I had zero business. Fortunately, I started picking up a bit, but going to boot camp courses, coming to Crown Council meetings, I started getting knowledge. I need to know much more about that. And what happened is in becoming a Crown Council, and this is another important fact, becoming a Crown Council Lifetime member, there is a list of things that they recommend you do.
That's right.
And you don't, if you think about it, you don't do them because you want to be a Lifetime Crown Council, but everything they've asked has really helped me to become a more successful dentist, everything on that list. And anybody listening to this, if you think, "Oh, I'll do it next year," or, "Oh, it's too much work," the work is worth, not the little praise you might get on stage, but it is worth the results you'll get from that work. And you know,
basic,
you know,
fundamental
that
business things, aren't they?
That's right. And that's the business end. And that's why I said I divide my education into that and business. And connecting all in this in the little mind map I put together is my mastermind group. Because we've been together over 10 years now. Great group. We meet once a year in person, and yet once a month we are on the phone for about an hour and a half and discussing everything from the business end to personal things to the technology. And one last thing under education I want to say is, coach, I can't imagine going through life, going through a business without a coach. I used a coach, Ron Arndt, who was my mentor and just helped on a regular basis. He was not only just a business coach, my coach also was a life coach. I mean, we talk about my wife's birthday was coming up and ideas on that. So it wasn't just how to deal with a hygienist that maybe wasn't happy. So those under education, I think I covered about five topics there. I would recommend that someone take a look at and consider. It just boggles my mind when I talk to dentists that haven't got any coaches at all. I've had several coaches. I think I used Jennifer D. St. George Younger and Joanne Tanner. But the last 10 years has been with Ron. And he has helped me in that long-term planning. I kind of hired him to give me this two-year, help me with a two-year plan. So when I did decide to go out, and when I decided to work with him 2 years ago, it wasn't I'm going to retire in 2 years. It was someday I'm going to retire. How shall I proceed with that?
Yeah.
Perhaps we can cover a few things in another subject, and that is these last three are all kind of connected together to me. Let's start with one is developed. I developed an office culture through recommendations from you, Steve, and other people. We got an office culture, and within that culture, I developed ten core values. I had some values. My wife and I had developed values each that we live by and that our marriage lives by, and modeled ourselves after Ben Franklin, who, of course, had his values that he lived his life by, if you remember that.
Yep, his 13.
I think when he was asked toward his end of his life whether or not he achieved all the values that and what he wanted to achieve in his vision, he said, "No, I missed one." And they said, "What was that?" And he says, "Humility. I never got very humble."
That's right.
So just like that, I said, my office has to have it. And actually, my book deals with this a little bit in writing. It deals with a lot of these things. But one of the things it does deal with, I actually go through my 10 core values in the book and why it is important to have them. And I'm just going to have two of them because whether you have any core values or not, these two to me are quite important. And one of them is that we incorporate honesty and integrity in everything we do. Our core values, we sat down as a dental team and we every month we either read them or most of us had them memorized and said them over and over. That was one of them. And some of the others, well, I won't go into all 10 of them, but one of my favorite is we are steadfast in being very sensitive to our patients' needs and emotions. And that ties in when I talk a little bit about patient relationship. It was important. We looked at that one, and we looked at it in comparison with our ethics and our honesty. In other words, Steve, if a patient came in and said, "Oh, my insurance is running out tomorrow. Can you say you did it all and so I can get it covered?" Well, that's being sensitive to our patient's needs, but that's being dishonest and unethical. So that's why we had them in order, and we talked about that. How can we not violate either one and stick with our values? Anything in my office, any problem between patients or between employees, we always could go back to one of those 10 core values that we had and how they might have been violated.
How often did you review those with your team?
Oh, every month. And that's where we'll get into team. But, yes, once a month, they had to memorize them. And if they had them all memorized and could say them almost word for word, then they'd get a little prize at our monthly meeting.
That's great.
But it was, and then whenever we had our talks and our, you know, every few months I'd meet down with the team and to go over how they were and what they wanted to achieve, and a little success seminar I called it, and with each one individually, and we would talk about the core values. So they were pretty held out there. We had some new employees. I had long-term employees. So I wasn't used to new employees. We had a hygienist, kind of a part-time hygienist came in, and I loaded her up with core, with our office culture manual, with our office regular manual, with the core values and our vision. We had a vision. And before she came to work, and she at one time, I did one hygienist, said, oh, that's too much, I just want to work. But most hygienists would say, wow, this is the type of office I want to work in. That has it. I had those core values in our life, so I thought they were important for the office, and we used them often. And probably at the last couple subjects I want to talk about is, where we've already talked about, is our patient relations. Compassion for our patients. And we did that in several ways, but I'm going to talk about three of them because we're limited here. One of them was patient calls by the doctor. Two calls, a new patient coming in. I had all the information from the interview, and I called that patient one or two days. And I couldn't believe the number of times that, God, dentists or doctors never called me. And it was a simple call. I'm just Dr. Finnerson. I see you're coming in tomorrow or the next day. And I just wanted to introduce myself so we're not total strangers when we meet and that you get your needs met. Can you visit for a minute about it? Sometimes they said, no, looking forward to seeing you. Sometimes I'd be on the phone for 20 minutes. That's unusual, both ends. But it, when they walked in, it was already a sense of trust. It just, I could see it in their eyes. Oh, yes. And that's what we're, of course, want that trust to start building right away. And of course,
do you ever remember in all the years that you've called your new patients before they come in, do you ever remember anybody no-showing that you had called?
No. Yes, a few times when I've left a message and couldn't talk to them directly. But when I talk to them directly, that new patient shows up.
Yep.
I can think of a few times when the team member said, well, you called to him last or a couple days ago. And I said, no, I left a message. I should have recalled him last night. Yeah, I never thought about that. I don't think about it then. I think of no-shows, but I think of it as meeting that. And even if they just called and said, oh, I'm just coming in for a chip on my tooth, or I'm just coming in for a quick visit, or I'm out of town, I'm staying here with my daughter for a few days, I call them. And then two other things under developing some really good patient relations is personal notes. We had little cards with my logo on it, and every member of my team had a card. And once a day, we would sit down and write a note, sometimes just three sentences. Gee, I'm sorry your dog is ill, or I'm glad Mary is doing well, or good talking to you today. Thanks for being my patient for 30 years. Just a note. We'd each pick out a patient. Sometimes we forget, and that patient got two cards. We got more comments. I know it's an electronic age, and you can email them or text them, which we started to doing in terms of communicating with them, but a personal written note, many of them would come in and just be touched. And then the third thing in under patient relations, what I already talked about, was our monthly newsletter and highlight. We actually had the whole team got together and sang happy birthday. We put it on a flip video. I put it on the computer, and everyone's birthday, they got a little note, happy birthday, and then I detached the video to it where we're all singing happy birthday. A lot of comments from that. I could talk for so much about patient relationships and what we did and thank yous and not just thank yous, but I'm sorry. So we're running behind. I really valued patients' time. And if we were running behind, my team would go up and say, would you like to reappoint a doctor? So sorry. Here's a $5 Starbucks or here's whatever. And we would have to give them something when we ran behind. You start handing out $5, $10 bills. Not that money, but I'm sorry, gifts. And you start running on time more.
Well, the fact that you acknowledge to them that their time is important goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. We tried to let them know if I was, for some reason, had emergency or running time. But if you really think about it, if a dentist wanted to be on time, it may change his bottom line a little bit on how much time he schedules between people. But on the long run, it just took stress off our lives. It made our team so much happier. Then perhaps the last little subject that has a few items in it is keeping a good long-term team and members. I had members of my team that have been there as long as I have, 22, 25, 28 years. The youngest one, I think, was there 8 years because we replaced someone who'd been there 10 years who had a medical retirement. So the team was me. I was nothing without them because they took all the stress off me, and that's what I'd like to talk about, maybe three or four items here under team relationship. One was constantly appreciate them. I may not have been the highest paid person in town, even though they had a nice compensation package and I thought they were quite well compensated with all types of benefits, medical and vacation and so on. That wasn't as important as appreciating them. And every day, there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't find, even the one that may be a little grumpy, I'd find some way to appreciate what they did and how they handled something. And it could be as simple as I was in the office and I heard you handle that patient. You did such a great job. My gosh, you're a public relations person. Just, that's it. That's all you have to say. And it just made a difference. The team was obviously loyal to me. And, of course, we traveled with them back over into the education area. They one of our core values was we enjoy learning more about our practice or about our professions. And they went on a lot of classes with me, including the annual Crown Council meeting. I had a team day, and that's one thing I'd like to spend a minute if we have time on. The team day was important. I would take half a day off. They got paid for that day. I'd have a limousine pick us up. We'd either go into San Francisco or go over to Sonoma, do something fun. We've gone to mammal rescue mission areas. We've gone to museums. Then I give them a little money and we go shopping and give them a little extra money and say they have to do a random deed of kindness and report back and we can talk about it at our dinner. We'd have dinner and come home. And on the way home in the limousine, I would read out loud a letter to each one why I appreciate them even more that year so they would hear it.
That's great.
And sometimes it got emotional, but it was a way of acknowledging at least yearly to each other how much I love that team. And last of all, I used, with all those, with team members around me, with that many years in dentistry, I would use their knowledge. I was a dictator in terms of how things went, and we're not a democracy, but I would listen to everything. Anything we'd do, monthly we'd get together, and we'd come with ideas and thoughts. And in those monthly meetings, it was open to discuss things. On our seminar with them individually, I would sit down and say, I get to tell you about three things that I think you might, and we'll discuss this, and you come up with three things that you think might be better. I'll come up with one thing, but you can only come up with one thing that you think would make me a better dentist. because I've got seven of you coming at me. So I gave them that opportunity to say, Doc, you're on the phone too much. Or, you know, when you get up and do this or that, or when you roll your eyes when you do something wrong, patient sees that. Whatever, they could criticize me in open, and that was important to me, that acknowledgement of their know-how in dentistry.
Sure.
You know, that's, I don't know if I've covered all my thoughts in subjects, but those were just a few of the things that came to mind as I was thinking of why did I have a stress-free, wonderful 41 years. And, well, all in the first few, I shouldn't say that. As I got more and more into practice in the at least the last 25 to 30 years, was just incredible. I was happy. I enjoyed what I did. Some of my teams went on humanitarian missions with me, and we enjoyed that, and they still talk about that.
Tell us a little bit about the book, what inspired it, and who the audience is.
I started the book for my patients. And so it was 3.5 years ago when I started writing and putting it together. I thought, oh, this would be great for patients and send it to new patients, because it starts off and talks a lot about who I am and why you should have a beautiful smile. But as I got into it, I started putting not just dentistry and health chapters, because it's not just the we treated our patients not just as a mouth, but the total health. And so it talked a lot about that, not just hygiene, but everything from chiropractor to acupuncture to getting piercings. But then I started thinking, what else can I talk about? And I wanted to talk a little bit about how someone might select a dentist. A dentist, they'd always say, well, I'm moving so-and-so, I'm moving somewhere, and how do I find a dentist? So I had a chapter in there about that, and then I talked a little bit about finding a dentist that has core values. And then I talked, of course, about the humanitarian trips and what I've done. So when my daughter read it, as she edited it, one of the editors for it, she said, Dad, there's a lot of dentists. You know, they know about lasers. They know about modern dentistry and how to do painless injections. And they know the importance of all that. But there's chapters in there that a lot of dentists don't understand, the business end of it and the core values and delivering, well, one of our core values, delivering high and quality standard dentistry and being upbeat and happy. So I added all that. And when I came together, it started to, I think, well, I'm going to be retiring. What am I going to do with this book? And my daughter read and said, there's a lot of people that would love this book because it talks about how to be, whether you're a dentist or a plumber, talks about a lot of things in there in the end, running a business. So book, and I got it published, and it's going to be on Barnes & Noble and one of these times Amazon and local bookstores. So there seems to be
The title, again, is It's All About Smiles, Passions from a Dentist on Health, Healing, and Happiness.
That's right.
So we're eager to read that. Will you wrap up? One of the things that I've always admired about you is your humanitarian work, and you've done a lot of it. And I think you found something that you had a passion for in a very unique way. Will you just tell us about the Flying Doctors, kind of a unique group, and why that resonated with you and what all you did?
Yes, I talk about it in this book. When I was in Vietnam as a new dentist over there and also a pilot and flying around, the colonel came to me and said, Dr. Finnerson, we're trying to win the hearts and souls of the Vietnamese. Would you help on our little civic action program with the Military Advisory Committee. and maybe help them out. So I said, sure. Well, then on my days off on Sundays, I would go out to these little villages and start and just set up on a porch and do dentistry the best I could. So when I came back from Vietnam, that part of me was just missing, and I heard a lecture from a man, the Flying Doctors, that started it, and I said, I'm going to go, and I signed up with him, and that was many, many years ago, 1978 or something like that, and I said, I'm going to go. And we would fly down to Mexico at the beginning in little villages and do free dentistry and make just four-day missions at it. And then I just loved it so much when we went to international, went with them on several international trips and then put together some of my own trips and joined some trips and learned how to put together, like the trip to South Africa, where I took my very good friend Fred Heck and I, put together a team, OBGYN and some assistants, and we spent 2 weeks working on AIDS kids in little villages in South Africa, traveling around. The weekend before, we did a little safari, so we had fun and made an adventure out of it. But I love it, and I would think any dentist, if he put a few trips or did some humanitarian work once in a while, it would bring so much to his life. It did to me, at least. It worked for me. Yes, I've done it. I put together a trip in the India trip, and I took my daughter on that one. That was fun to work in a orphanage for a week. We spent 2 weeks in India traveling around and 1 week in the orphanage working with 90 kids, fixing their mouths up every day. So
that's great.
And you're going to continue doing that?
As long as my hands and eyes permit.
That's great. Thank you for sharing your 20 things, and we look forward to reading the quote-unquote next chapter in your book, soon to be released. It's all about smiles, and thanks for your great example over the years, and we're eager to see all the great things you're going to do in the future.
Well, thank you. The book is available now. As people are listening to this, they can get on and order it. I think they'll enjoy it. I should have a money-back guarantee. If they don't enjoy it, I'll buy it back.
There you go. All Adrian, right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for your time.